Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Hello, everybody. We will begin today by talking about the Trayvon Martin, George Zimmerman case. A Pew survey out yesterday found a racial and partisan divide on whether the media is talking about it too much. 56% of Republicans said too much coverage compared to just 25% of Democrats. And 43% of whites said too much coverage compared with just 16% of blacks. And I think these numbers reflect a partisan and racial perception gap that goes way beyond this case and says a lot about who we are as a nation. So let's talk about it with you on the phones and with Kai Wright, editorial director of the website Color Lines and a contributor to The Nation magazine. Hi, Kai. Thanks very much for doing this. Welcome back to WNYC.
Hi. Thanks for having me again.
And we'll open the phones right away. First, for anyone who thinks there is too much coverage of the Trayvon Martin case. We'll take calls from anyone who does think there is too much coverage to have this dialogue, to have this conversation. 212-433-WNYC, 433-9692. For the first segment here, if you think there is too much coverage of the death of Trayvon Martin. Kai, what did you think when you saw those Pew poll results?
I think a few things. One is the partisan divide is probably a proxy for a bunch of other divides, race being one of them, and where you consume your media being another one. I think that the question, though, is perhaps the wrong one. I don't think it's a question of how much or little coverage there's been, but what kind of coverage there's been, and what kind of conversation we're having.
Let's get to that in a minute. But okay. on the question of how much, it seems to me that simple question in the survey taps into white and Republican perceptions that the media talk as if there is more racism in America than there really is, and talk about blacks as underdogs in America more than they really are. Do you think that's what the poll reflects?
Well, I mean, I think the poll probably reflects the fact that we actually are really quite unaccustomed to talking about race in the public square today, right? So the Trayvon Martin case is certainly an example where we've had an explicit conversation about race. We don't do that very often as a nation anymore. And when we do it, it is rarely a productive one. And so I can certainly imagine on all sides, a lot of folks are saying, oh, wow, this is a lot of race. This is a lot more race than I'm used to having on my television, and in certain circles, and this is why I think the how we're talking about it is relevant, is that I think in the worlds of Fox and in certain conservative media, the conversation, the way it's being covered is as isn't this people making something, making race, putting race in the public square where it doesn't belong. Mm-hmm. And so the response is, yeah, so let's stop talking about it in those circles. I think if you're talking about it from the perspective of, well, here's a case that really opens up a lot of unanswered questions in our country and opens up a lot of difficult questions that we've run from in our country, then you're probably thinking, oh, great, I'm glad we're finally having this conversation.
Let's take a call. Arthur in Larchmont, you're on WNYC. Arthur, thank you for calling in.
Good morning. The fact that Trayvon was killed is a tragedy. No one's disputing that. But with the tremendous amount of coverage that the press has provided, and not just the print media, of course, I don't know how Mr. Zimmerman, should he ever be charged, can get a fair trial. How do you find 12 jurors who don't come to this with a point of view?
How do you find them in any racially charged case or any politically charged case?
It's not easy, but what's the publicity is certainly not making it any easier. Granted that it may have all been swept under the rug absent the initial protests, but that's been accomplished. It's being investigated in the state of Florida. Race is an issue in this country and needs to be addressed. But we still, at least conceptually, we still feel that anybody charged should have the right to a fair trial before an impartial jury.
Right, and of course they should, and I'm not sure that in any case that means the public square shouldn't discuss the case in the non-judicial setting. Arthur, for you, do you think that in general the media treats black people too gently or with a pro-black bias?
It's easy for them to do that. I'm not sure that they really do. In certain cases, they do. This is one, I think, where it is happening. And the fact that he was shot is a tragedy. It shouldn't have happened. You can extrapolate this into gun control. You can extrapolate into sociological issues and socioeconomic issues, a lot of other things. But at least in our concept of a justice system, we have a person who may well be charged with a crime. The man's entitled to a reasonably fair jury, as much as you can at this point, if I were his attorney.
So what's the bias? I understand, you know, too much conversation in general, people on both sides with strong opinions, perhaps, for him to get a fair trial, in your opinion. But what's the bias? You said you think there's a kind of pro-black bias in this case, in the media. What is it?
I think the tragedy of the situation, it's very easy to take the victim's side and criticize Mr. Zimmerman.
Arthur, thank you very much. Kai, what about...
So, of course, first off, part of the coverage has been that Mr. Zimmerman needed to be arrested in order to have a trial in the first instance. That's a big part of why this case has gotten so much coverage.
Or at least investigated, which wasn't taking place before the media explosion.
Right. I mean, you have a dead 17-year-old boy who was unarmed, and the person who shot him walking free. And I think that actually, talking about like how does the media deal with black people and black men in particular, part of the outrage here is that many of us believe that the reason Trayvon Martin is dead, an unarmed 17-year-old is dead in the first instance, is because the way that the media and many other areas of society, but in the media that black men are portrayed, is as threatening, as scary, as problems, and that is the kind of thing that culture that we have created, in large part due to the way black men are dealt with in the media, is part of what led to his, not only his death, but many others before him.
Let's take another call. Donna on Staten Island. Hi, Donna, you're on WNYC.
Hi, thank you for taking my call. I feel like I first have to reiterate that what happened to Trayvon Martin, you know, for his family, I feel, very sorry for the fact that they've lost a son. But I do happen to agree that there's been too much coverage of this and of the case, I think, in proportion to what happened. Who knows what really happened. But too much attention has been paid to it, and I think the significance of the poll that was done has a lot to do, or the disparity between whites and blacks and their perception of whether there's too much coverage or not, has a lot to do with the actual media coverage and people like Al Sharpton and the distorted, I think, view that there is this grand racial problem that still exists in this country, and this is coming from a black woman. That's the first thing I want to say. The second thing I want to say is your guest, as a former prosecutor, I have to say, you know, when he makes comments like, you know, the media portrays black men as scary and threatening, I take issue with that. You know, people can be threatening and can be scary, all kinds of people. And if you wear a hoodie at night and it's late, as a black woman, if I'm walking down the street and someone's walking behind me with a hoodie, I think he's trying to conceal his face for a reason. And the hoodie is used for in criminal activity for that purpose. So I personally think that, there's too much attention being paid to this. I'm more concerned with the fact that young men and women across this country of any race are dying every single day, and it does not get as much attention.
Kai, Donna, talk to each other. Kai?
Well, I mean, the problem... So first off, there's no reason... Many people wear hoodies, and Trayvon was not, in fact, walking behind a woman on a dark street. He was walking and minding his business and being followed by somebody else who was armed and who had decided that he was a threat. And I think the details of that are part of the outrage, is that it's quite a striking case in which the thing that made him threatening was, in fact, his race. That set aside, I think the bigger point here is that, in fact, it is disproportionately black men who are dying, and young black men like Trayvon who are dying, and who are, and not only dying, but who are being battered in a lot of ways in society. And we've, and I think part of the discomfort that folks are having with this case, and having with the conversation around this case, is that it's forcing us to talk about that, and we haven't wanted to talk about that for a long time, and so it's reopened that, and in some ways reopened a wound that makes people uncomfortable, but I think it's something we really have to address.
Donna, go ahead.
I have to say. This reopening of a wound, you know. First of all, I was trying to. My example about the hoodie was in my situation as a woman, how I would feel threatened if someone were wearing a hoodie. Trayvon Martin wasn't seen, from what I understand, as being threatening because he was black, but because he was wearing a hoodie, and because it was late at night, and because he didn't live there, and because he was seen, you know, doing certain things. Let's not. I understand that some people might see this as an issue, but let's not try to distort the facts. Furthermore, you know, race. We discuss race in this country all the time. Okay, in my opinion, too much so. I say let's move on and go from there. And just one more thing. You know, if you know, young black men and women are being killed every day, yes. But who are the perpetrators, okay? Who are the people who are killing young black men and women? It's ourselves. We are killing each other. And that is the bigger issue. If you want to make some social or have some social commentary about what's the state of black women or black men in this country, that's for another issue. That's another time, another topic that should not be interjected in this particular case. That's just all I have to say.
Donna, can I follow up on one little piece of that? Obviously, there's a lot of black-on-black crime, if that's the phrase. But there's also a litany of names that you could go down where, if it's Trayvon Martin, if it's Sean Bell, if it's Amadou Diallo, and you know the others, where there is an additional risk for young black men who have no reason to be killed by law enforcement, or in this case, pseudo-law enforcement, that's also part of the legacy in this country. And so that taps another kind of outrage. Do you, as a black woman, not feel that too?
Brian, honestly, and first, I disagree, you know, and part of the problem with this case is that people, you know, people like yourself, and I'm not saying diabolical intent behind it. But this was not a law enforcement case. I disagree with this, the fact that this Trayvon Martin case is being lumped in with other cases like Diallo and Luima or those things. This was a civilian, you know, a shooting. And
well, I call it pseudo law enforcement. Yeah, he saw himself.
I know you did. But you see, even in doing that, someone in your audience who is listening then makes this puts these things together and they take it together. And people like Al Sharpton are trying to make this a case as though it were a law enforcement shooting. And it does. There are law enforcement shootings. You know what I mean? That happened. Mm-hmm. Some of them, you know, Sean Bell. Maybe they, you know, should not have happened. But Brian, accidents happen. Tragedies happen. Intense situations involving the police. You know, some things are going to go wrong. Mm-hmm. But black people are not the only people that are victims of these kinds of shootings. When is the last time you heard of a shooting of a young white man who has?
But that's the question. Whoops, what happened? Oh, okay, we lost Donna's line. Donna, I forgive me if that was my fault, but maybe that's the point, is that we don't hear about similar shootings of young white people because they're not happening.
Brian, you know, I want to say, I think that part of what we hear in Donna's perspective and part of what we hear in the poll that you cited at the beginning of the show is that this race is a really hard thing to talk about. People, it pushes a lot of folks' buttons of all races. Which is a lot of folks' buttons of all politics, because it is such a core part of our society. And when we have a conversation about race that either says because if we're going to have it, then somebody must, some individual must be bad. Some individual must be a racist. Some individual must be a whole host of things. And when it's about that, it becomes really, really hard for people to talk about. And it becomes really, really intimidating for people to talk about. I think what's important and what this Trayvon story tells us is that if we step back from whether or not George Zimmerman was a racist, whether or not Trayvon Martin was in fact a threat, and we step back to the bigger picture, that people like Trayvon across a whole host of categories in this society are battered. If you look at poverty rates, if you look at unemployment rates, if you look at hunger rates, if you look at their experience in schools, if you look at their experience with violent crime, if you look at their experience with criminal justice, across the board, you see an outcome in which African-American men are experiencing often fatal outcomes at far higher rates than everybody else in society. So either those men have inherent problems, or there's something structural going on in our society. And if we talk about the bigger structural picture, then I think it's an easier conversation to have. Mm-hmm. But we're encouraged to talk about it and debate it in a very personal and interpersonal level. And then it becomes impossible.
We get lost in the details of the case. My guest, Kai Wright from Color Lines and The Nation. But to one more of Donna's points, which is that when talking about media coverage, when a white person, or in this case a half-white, half-Latino person, kills an innocent black person, the media is all over it, like it signifies something deep about America. But we don't make a federal case out of it when black people kill black people, which is much, much more common. So the thinking goes, we let black shooters of black people off the hook as excused by history or poverty or something, and we vilify white shooters of black people as a symptom of racism in America.
Well, I mean, it's an apples and oranges comparison. Violent crime of all sort, regardless of the races of the people involved, violent crime happens statistically. You are the victim of violent crime by someone who you know. Most violent crime, right?
Right.
So, and we're a segregated society, and most people are victims of someone they know, and you're most likely for that person to be white. So there's white-on-white crime, there's black-on-black crime, right? The outliers are these situations in which the details are stark, in which there's an unarmed person who, and Trayvon's case is very clear in this sense. You have an unarmed child who was doing nothing other than walking home, was in no way, shape, or form violating the law, was in no way, shape, or form presenting a threat to anyone, was simply walking home and ended up dead. And the person who shot him did not get arrested. And I think those details are stark, and they recur in the deaths of black men outside of the question of violent crime. We're not talking about violent crime, actually. We're talking about instances when the justice system has sanctioned the killing of someone who wasn't armed. And that's what's happened in this case because George Zimmerman has not been prosecuted.
Let's get one more call in, and from another perspective, Fred in Rockland County. You're on WNYC. Hello, Fred.
Yes, good morning. Thanks for taking my call. It's my sentiments exactly as to what your guest said. And I think the focal point is that a young man unarmed, minding his own business, was actually confronted and judged according to what's portrayed in the papers today concerning young black men and people, and based his decision to shoot this unarmed individual, this child. Now, that should be the focal point. Whether we have a bipartisan divide and the polling and too much media, it's not enough media on this focal point. This should be the bone of contention. You shot an unarmed youngster doing nothing but minding his own business, and you decided, being deranged, and it's coming out that he has had issues with the law and everything else. He decided, based on the portrayal of young black men in the papers, to take his life. That should be the focal point. And what's a tremendous insult to the American law-abiding citizens is that this gentleman, not a gentleman, this guy has not been arrested. You know, and I can't understand that. You know, it's a travesty of justice.
Fred, what's your answer to the previous caller's point? Because we hear it time and time again in all kinds of media this week that there's a selective outrage. That, yeah, it's outrageous that the investigation, at least, didn't take place into George Zimmerman, and then they'll decide whether they think he should be arrested. But there are so many other young black men getting killed by other young black men. Why does that not prompt a similar outrage on your part?
Well, I think folks just don't want to confront the truth. Whoever kills whoever, whether it's white or black, it's not a good situation, and it must be addressed. The killing in America, whether it's black on black crime, whether it's white, black, white, it needs to stop. You know, this is what we need to focus in on. I know in communities that blacks are killing each other, and then we have folks who are outside of the community as a result, basically, of blacks killing blacks in their own community, also making a judgment based on that, figuring, well, hey, look, they're taking their own lives. We might as well take their lives, too. Mm. Now, but the whole thing has to stop. It's becoming to be epidemic, and it's a cancer in the United States. And we have to put a cap on this right now.
Fred, thank you very much for your call. Kaya, we're just about out of time. What else do you want to say before you go?
I think a really important point on this selective outrage question is that we're talking about the justice system and those crimes that, those are quite effectively prosecuted, in fact. The justice system moves in quite an aggressive way surrounding black crime. The point here is that the justice system has not moved. And in previous cases, when it's been law enforcement officers, actual law enforcement officers, who have shot unarmed black men, again, the justice system did not move. And that is the outrage, is the unequal application of justice alongside a case in which an unarmed child was killed.
Kai Wright, editorial director of Color Lines, contributor to The Nation magazine, thank you so much for having this difficult conversation with us. I really appreciate it.
Thanks for having me, Brian.
Brian Lehrman, WNYC, and lots of comments on our comments page. You can continue the conversation there at WNYC.org. Click on Brian Lehrman Show. Now, coming up next, was President Obama right to publicly challenge the Supreme Court this week on the health reform case? We'll hear the clip of what he said that has actually drawn some very unusual public rebukes from the bench. Stay with us.